Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful morning. Thank you for your prayers, and I pray that you listen to the prayers that everybody had this morning. I pray that you bless the church this morning and today and tonight. You speak through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and you change our hearts and minds. I pray that the challenges that we face today's times, Lord, that you give us the strength and the knowledge to be able to fight against evil, Lord, and against the Satan. I pray that you bless the youth and you give us a strong foundation to trust you, to believe in you, to put our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. I would like to second Pastor Sam that everybody should be at camp in Colorado this summer. And the only reason is because that's going to be a continuation of the message from this morning. They're going to be very important that we learn that we are in this world, but not of this world. And today we're going to be talking about challenges and solution that the teenagers and the youth face in the 21st century. I would like to read one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I picked this verse very specifically because it says in faith and in purity. And that is what is challenged, and it's at the core of our problems in our society today. That is exactly what the devil and Satan is trying to destroy, is your faith and your purity and your conduct and your speech. This morning, as I said, we're going to talk about the challenges in our times. That means for the youth. And I pray that I don't sound pessimistic or judgmental, that I correctly and clearly point out to you the real challenges that we face as a youth. And I'm also hoping that you will learn something. But see, when I was thinking about the challenges, we can talk about evolution, we can talk about world religions, we can talk about moral truths and the one way or another way to do things. And I thought about all these things, and we can talk about the indoctrinations at school. But I realized we need to actually focus on the foundation. That's where the real challenge is what is the meat of the problem. We all know a lot of the problems, and sometimes I hear all this time, is like, I know what the problem is, what is the solution? And that's what I want to focus on this morning. We tend to throw different things around, different problems. It's the schools, it's the churches, they're way too behind. It's the families, our parents don't know anything. It's technology. Well, of course, those are all problems. But how do we fix all this? I hope you listen to both messages this morning. You see, one of the things that's very important is when you have a problem, you need to go to the source. When you are sick, you have to go to the doctor. When your car breaks down, you have to go to the mechanic, or you have a little cool thing, you put it in the car, right? It tells you exactly what's wrong, and then you go to the owner's manual, and you read how to fix it. Well, it's the same way with our spiritual life. When we are talking about the challenges in the 21st century, we need to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is the manual that allows us and tells us how to fight these challenges that comes to us, and we find the solutions to our problems. But we rarely read the Bible, and I say that not just the youth, but all of us. We read maybe pieces here and there, and we try to come up with answers based on a couple of words, verses or chapters. I heard one time a young person came up to me and said, I had to make a big decision in my life, so I opened the Bible. Wherever it opened, I read two verses, and I made the decision based on what he said. Well, one or two Bible verses can give you peace. It can give you joy. But you can't really just take that out of context. You have to realize what those two verses, what the verses before said and what the verses afterwards said. You have to read the Word of God entirely, not just pieces by pieces. So one of the big challenges for the youth, and I'm talking about foundation. I'm not going to talk about evolution. I'm not going to talk about relativism. The foundation that's going to be built for your trip to Colorado is at the base, and the real challenge is to know and understand God. You see, this is the meat of the challenge, is knowing and understanding God. This is a really big issue because We treat God as he is something apart from us. Not within us. Not with us. We look at him, we treat him as he's not part of our realm. The world sees God as somebody away from us, doesn't have anything to do with us. And us as Christians, we tend to do the same thing. But God wants to be part of your existence. He wants to be part of like your friendship, just like you guys have friends. He wants to be just the same way treated. He wants to be in that relationship with you. And the personal relationship, when you have a friend, what do? You trust that friend, right? You obey that friend. That friend has some rules. The same thing is you wouldn't be friends with somebody that is not going to obey your rules, is not going to follow your rules, your recommendations, is not in a relationship with. It's the same way with God. We have to be in constant communication with him. How else are you going to understand what it says in Luke chapter 9, 23? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow. How else are we going to understand something like that if we are not in a personal relationship with God? We don't know God because we don't read his word, or we don't read the word of God, and we don't understand the Bible. It comes down to the reading the Bible entirely. We don't know nor understand God because we don't have a relationship with God. What is the solution, right? It's to read the word of God entirely, not out of context, not... If I'm going to want to own a business, I'm going to read a couple of verses and I'm going to decide to go into the business because those verses said something about rewards. Well, wait a second. That is not what the context is. We can't take already things that we're going to be already premeditated to doing. So reading the word of God, to ask God to give you the clear understanding of his word, to pray, to go to God for all of the questions and answers. To go to God all the time, to spend time with him and his church and his people, to seek help from professionals, other people from our church, the pastors, the deacons, the elders, that can help you understand God's word better. Now, we live in a world in which we hear this a lot, I read the Bible, I pray, okay? But the next challenge is do you believe it? Do you obey it? Do you trust it? Do you believe God? Do you obey God? Do you trust God in every single thing? You see, it's not just about happy joy. It's not, you see, God is not just about making you feel comfortable and be happy and that. It's a little bit more than that. You wouldn't want your friends, as I said, to just make you happy. That's not the point. There's a relationship, and the relationship goes through ups and downs, good and bad. This is the meat of the second challenge. Do we obey? Do we trust? Do we believe in God? This is huge because I hear this a lot. We are a nation without God. There's actually a book out there. It's called We Are a Nation Without God. Like God just disappeared from our nation. Or just God doesn't have anything to do with the United States. Wow. Really? Do you realize what it says? No, God didn't vanish. God didn't disappear. Instead, you and I and us as a nation, we don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. We don't want to believe in God. We don't want to obey God. We don't want to trust God. It's not God's problem. It's your problem. It's my problem. It's not his fault. It's our fault. That's why so many kids nowadays, born and raised in Christian families, they read the Bible, they pray, but have left churches because they don't obey or trust God. We blame churches and we blame families, we blame parents, we blame other kids, we blame everybody else. And the reality of it is that we have to look inside us and come together as a church, as a youth group, in order for next Saturday to make it effective. We need to, as a group, invite other people, not just one person at a time. Everybody needs to be inviting everybody. That's the only way we can make and change things. We just read Luke 9:23 says, Jesus says, crucify yourselves. But no, nowadays we don't crucify ourselves anymore. We are just care about our own things, about our own selfishness. David Platt in Counterculture says, in a world where everything resolves around yourself, protect yourself, promote yourself, comfort yourself, take care of yourself, Jesus says, crucify yourself. Are you hearing that? Can you understand that? Jesus Christ says instead, crucify yourself. Are you obeying that? Every single day. This is not just Jesus asking you, well, Doreen, you, you want to crucify yourself today? Do you want to put yourself on the back burner and put me first? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, will you? He doesn't ask questions. He commands you to do it. And our job is to obey. God wants us to follow him entirely. But you may say, well, you know, the young people may look at me and say, but Doreen, God wants us to enjoy the things of this world. There are some good things into this world. Well, sure. Right. But at what expense? At what expense are we going to do this? Because, you see, we live in this world, and my last challenge, and I think Pastor Simeon is going to talk a lot more about this, but we are in a melting pot. We are in a melting pot. Like Romanians came to America, they Americanized because they lost their heritage, they lost their principles, Romanian background, and our kids are going to be American. Well, in the same way, Satan found that this challenge works really great. We come into college, we go into college, God-believing people. Oh my goodness, we're Christians, we're going to talk about faith with people. And then suddenly they bring up evolution. And you talk to them and you give them the verses about where God created this world. But they say the world has been created for 1.5 billion years. And then you talk and weeks go by and after you talk with people. And suddenly you maybe change your mind. You say, well, maybe God created us through evolution, through that process. Wrong. You're starting to deviate away from your belief, your trust, your obeying God, your knowing of God, your knowledge of God. You're starting to deviate away from that. You see, the melting pot means that the Christians are being churned around into this world. And the world has an agenda. Has a big agenda. And you can see it on television. You can hear it in the music. You can see it on your iPads. It's Satan's agenda to destroy the core of our belief and our faith. Let me explain it. When you know and understand God, when you believe and when you obey and you trust God, you know what agenda you're going to have? God's agenda. But when you don't believe God, when you don't trust God, when you don't obey God, when you don't even know what God wants from you, that's when you're going to be on the world's agenda. And they have a big agenda. We as Christians, and I want to take just a minute here for the youth, and I know all the youth is not here. Maybe you guys can talk about it. But this little thing is very powerful. But a lot of people come to church and spend most of their time on this phone. When we are youth messages, when their pastors are speaking, they spend most of this time on here. Facebooking, Googling, tweeting, all those other things that come with this little phone. The problem with it is that it's not just at church. It's at home. I had a family, and it was perfect timing. I had a family come in, straight-A student, goes to Baptist church, Christians, came to my office and said, my son has major depressive disorder. He wants to commit suicide. You know how old he is? 9 years old. 9 years old. And I said, what changed? Mom and dad didn't know. So then I asked them, okay, well, let's go through some of the things. Tell me about his last year of school. Straight-A student. So mom said, well, he plays more games now. He watches TV. He watches movies till late at night. And I asked him, what time do you go to bed? 4 o'clock in the morning. What do you do till 4 o'clock in the morning? I'm on my phone, on my computer. Those are scary moments because, you see, Satan has given us, the young people, something to do all the time. We spend more time on this than we spend on anything else out there other than our job and our school. So let me just kind of go you through this with you. This is how it used to be back in the day. We used to spend a lot of time in the Word of God, prayer, small groups, missions. We used to build close relationships with people and do things together. We used to be involved in the projects of your children at school. We used to be involved in politics and stand for what the principle, biblical principle were. We used to be top of our class. We used to own businesses founded on Christian values. But now that we have been in this melting pot of the world, we spend a lot more time at work, online, and entertainment. We build the lots of friendship, but what? On Facebook, on Twitter. I mean, how many friends do you guys have? I think my last count was 600 and something friends. What in the world? I don't have 600 friends. We allow teachers to be involved in our children's lives instead of us being involved in their projects. We allow and re-elect same politicians because they've been okay all this time. We are okay with just passing our classes now. As long as you get a C minus, you're good to go. We own businesses, but you see, now we don't want to pass and step on anyone's gender, preference, or race. We're so careful. We misunderstand the whole word of God because it talks about persecution here. That when you stand for the truth, when you stand for the Bible, when you stand for God, you might actually be spitted on. You might actually be disregarded. You might be pushed aside. But that's exactly what God tells us to do. Because you know what's coming? And I'll tell you, there's two options. One is a revival, and it's going to be coming. Or two, we're going to meet Jesus Christ in heaven very soon. I pray that we focus and we change our foundation. We focus on that foundation. We build to know God, to understand God, to believe in God, to obey God, and to trust God. And after that, remember, the disciples had to go through this discipleship class. That's what they had to clearly define first. And then we can battle the things that Brother Simeon will talk about. May God help us. Amen.